We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 4. Mr. Davos Has an Alibi. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is invited by Scotland Yard to investigate a series of crimes committed by a notorious criminal known simply as Mr. Gregory. During the course of investigations, Temple meets Chief Inspector Vosper, who is in charge of the Gregory affair, a young Norwegian called Peter Davos, a Scottish millionaire, Sir Donald Murdo, a young Canadian girl known as Dr. Wiseman, and a certain Mr. Edward Day. Late one night, Temple and Steve visit the Madrid nightclub and make the acquaintance of a professional dancer known as Coral Slater. Coral is obviously anxious to impart vital information to Temple concerning the Gregory affair and arranges to meet him at her flat in Piccadilly. When Temple and Steve arrive at the flat, they discover, however, that Coral has apparently not yet returned from the Madrid.
Now, I think I'll investigate the bedroom. If it's anything like the lounge, it certainly ought to be worth seeing.
I wondered how long you'd restrain your curiosity about the bedroom. Yes, well, don't be too long, Steve, because I expect you'll be here any minute.
It's a wonderful room, Paul. It's exactly like...
Steve? What is it?
Look, darling. Look.
Where?
On the other side of the bed. Look.
It's Coral Slater.
Is she?
Yes. Oh. Yes, she's dead. She's been strangled.
But, Paul, how did she get here? How did she get here before we did? I mean, how did...
Wait a minute. She must have been brought here from the Madrid. She's been dead about 20 minutes.
What are we going to do? What are we...
Now, Steve, listen. I want you to go downstairs, get the car, and drive straight...
What is it?
Shh. There's someone coming into the flat. Now, don't move, darling. Stand still.
Paul, who is
Shh.
It?
Stay here, dear. Don't move.
Good evening, Mr. Davos.
Why? Why, Mr. Temple? What are you doing here?
What's more to the point, Mr. Davos? What are you doing here?
Are you crazy? This is my flat.
Your flat?
Of course it's my flat. You mean to say that you didn't... Who's that? Who's that in the bedroom?
It's my wife.
Mr. Temple, what is the meaning of this? How did you manage to break into this
Would
flat?
You mind stepping into the bedroom for a moment, Mr. Davos? There's something I'd like you to see.
In the bedroom?
Yes.
Oh. Who is this girl? Who is she?
You mean to say you don't know her?
Of course I don't know her. I've never seen her in my life before.
Her name is Slater, Mr. Davos. Coral Slater. She was a professional dancer at the Madrid.
But is she dead?
Yes. She's been strangled.
But look here. What's she doing here in my flat? Who brought her here? And, Mr. Temple, for God's sake, explain exactly what's happened. Don't just stand there as if nothing's...
We don't exactly know what's happened, Mr. Davos, but... Well, to be quite frank with you... Here's our side of the story. We met Miss Slater at the Madrid just over an hour ago. She told me that she wanted to have a confidential chat and invited me here to her flat.
But this isn't her flat. It's my flat. I... Did she give you this address?
She was frightened of being overheard, so she left a note for my wife with the cloakroom attendant.
The note...
The note gave this address, yes.
Then it's quite obvious what's happened. Someone must have known that she intended to see you. Someone must have known about the note and...
And substituted another note with this, with the wrong address on it.
Yes.
It sounds highly feasible, Paul. And Charles Zola would obviously be the person...
Yes, but what about the key?
Which key?
There was a key with the note, Mr. Davos. It fitted your lock perfectly.
Well, I don't care if there were 50 keys. This is my flat. It's my flat, and I can prove that it's my flat.
I don't doubt that it's your flat, Mr. Davos. And I don't suppose for a moment that the police will doubt it. But the point is...
What is this girl doing here?
Exactly.
Mr. Temple, you don't seriously think that I had anything to do with this business, do you? You don't think that I murdered this girl and...
Did you murder her, Mr. Davos?
Of course not. I've told you. I've never so much as... Tell me. What time did she die?
I should say she's been dead about 20 minutes. Certainly not more than half an hour.
You saw her tonight at the Madrid?
Of course.
After 7 o'clock?
Yes, of course, after 7 o'clock. I told you, we met her just over an hour ago.
Well, thank God for that.
I take it you have a pretty satisfactory alibi, Mr. Davos?
Fortunately for me, Mr. Temple, it's the perfect alibi. A friend, or rather an acquaintance of mine, called for me this evening just after 7 o'clock. We strolled down to the Handover restaurant in the Haymarket and stayed there until about 10:15. We left the restaurant together and shared a taxi down to my friend's flat, which is near Hyde Park Corner. Just over 15 minutes ago, we both left the flat and strolled along here together. So, you see, we've been together all this evening. He can testify to that fact. It's the perfect alibi.
I don't know that I should call it exactly the perfect alibi, Mr. Davos.
No?
Just out of curiosity, who did you have dinner with this evening?
Chief Inspector Vosper.
What time did you call for Davos, Vosper?
About 7:15, sir. I left him just after midnight.
In other words, you told Mr. Temple the truth.
He certainly told him the truth so far as I was concerned, sir.
And he couldn't possibly have murdered Coral Slater?
Not unless he murdered her before 7 o'clock, which we know very well he didn't, sir, because Mr. and Mrs. Temple saw her at 11.
What about Day, Temple?
Well, he was at the Madrid, certainly. We had to talk to him.
Could he have murdered Coral Slater and then taken her to the flat?
Yes, I suppose he could have done. But, of course, the same thing applies to Zola or anyone else at the Madrid.
What exactly was Mr. Day doing at the Madrid, anyway?
Apparently, he found out that the car that tried to force him over the bridge belonged to Charles Zola, and, well, he wanted to interview him.
Yes. Well, I'm always suspicious of these amateur detectives. I think it's about time we interviewed Mr. Day for a change.
Yes. By the way, Vosper, did you check up on that car of Zola's?
Yes, and so far as I can make out, he was telling the truth. The car was laid up and never left the garage. It's quite obvious if Day got the number right, then somebody must have faked it.
Which means that somebody is trying to throw suspicion on Zola.
Yes.
You haven't heard from Sir Donald Murdo, I suppose?
I spoke to him on the telephone this morning. Nothing's happened.
What made you spend the evening with Davos, Inspector?
What made you spend the evening at the Madrid, sir?
I wanted to have a chat with Charles Zola.
I wanted to have a chat with Peter Davos.
I think you've got a bee in your bonnet about Davos, Inspector. It's my frank opinion that... Yes? What is it, Sergeant?
I beg your pardon, sir, but Vic Taylor has arrived.
Vic Taylor?
Is the taxi driver, sir, the one that Mrs. Temple...
Oh, yes, yes. Where is he, Sergeant?
In Superintendent Bradley's office, sir.
Right. Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Did you see this man before?
No. Vosper saw him.
Yes, but I couldn't get much out of him, I'm afraid. He's as frightened as a kitten and as sullen as they make him.
Do you mind if I have a little chat with him?
Of course not. That's why I've got him here. Bradley's office is on the 2nd floor.
Shall I come down with you, sir?
No, it's all right, Inspector. Thank you. I'll find the way.
Good morning, Mr. Taylor. Morning, Mr. Taylor.
What do you want?
Would you like a cigarette?
No. Now keep your ruddy cigarettes. Look here, what's the game? I've already been up here once this morning answering a lot of cockeyed questions. I'm just about browned off. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with me?
What would you like us to do with you, Mr. Taylor?
Are you trying to be funny? Because if you
I'm asking you a perfectly civil question. What would you like us to do with you?
I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care what you do with me. You can string me up from the rafters.
Timothy, your nerves certainly seem to be in a bad way this morning. I trust my wife didn't frighten you last night. I admit she can be very terrifying, especially with a revolver.
I'm sorry about last night. I was a ruddy fool to take the job on, but
you were being well paid for it.
That's my business. Have you seen that dick this morning? The basket with the long face?
Chief Inspector Vosper?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen him.
Well, he's asked all the questions, and so far as I'm concerned, he's got all the answers, so if there's anything you want to know, just ask him.
Yes, but you see, Mr. Taylor, Chief Inspector Vosper and I don't exactly see eye to eye.
What do you mean?
Vosper is under the impression that your attempt to kidnap Mrs. Temple last night proves conclusively that you're mixed up with the Gregory affair. Now, personally, I'm of the
opinion... The Gregory affair?
Yes, the Gregory affair.
Good Lord. You don't think I've got anything to do with that,
do you? I don't, Mr. Taylor, but unfortunately, Chief Inspector Vosper does.
I swear I'm not mixed up with the Gregory affair.
What happened last night?
I was paid 50 quid. Told to pick up Mrs. Temple and take her to an address in the East End.
Who paid you the 50 quid?
I don't know, and that's the truth.
You know, Mr. Taylor, the position is really quite simple. If you don't tell me what happened yesterday, what really happened, there's a sporting chance that Inspector Vosper might convince me, and a whole lot of other people, that you're mixed up in the Gregory affair. If you do tell me what happened, there's a sporting chance that I might convince Chief Inspector Vosper and a whole lot of other people that you're not mixed up in it. Now it's up to you.
Have you got a cigarette?
Yes, certainly.
I parked my car at a garage, see? Layman's Garage, the other side of Vauxhall Bridge. Well, yesterday morning, I went along to pick the cab up, and while I was filling her up and tinkering about a bit, a bloke comes up and stands watching me. He was a funny-looking customer. Dark, swarthy sort of chap. Must have been getting on for 50 or more. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he makes me a proposition. He offers me 50 quid to pick up Mrs. Temple and take her down at an address in the East End. He was a plausible sort of bloke. Made the whole thing sound a bit of a practical joke.
What was the address?
It was a shop, a vet's place. At least he said it was a vet's place. 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin.
Had you ever been there before?
No. Never even heard of the place.
Were you in need of the £50?
In need of it? Blimey. It was a godsend. Yeah. You don't think I'd have taken the proposition on?
Tell me more about this man. The man who gave you the money.
Funny sort of cove. Seemed to me to be laughing all the time as if there was something tickling his fancy. A pleasant sort of chap, aren't you?
In a repulsive sort of way.
That's right.
Had he an accent?
Yeah. He's a foreigner, all right.
How tall?
I should think about 5'8".
I take it that there's no doubt that you'd recognise him again.
Recognise him? Cool, blimey, yes. I'd pick him out of a regiment.
Look here, Taylor. I'll get Sir Graham to release you, but I want you to pick me up tonight outside the flat at about 8 o'clock.
OK.
I want you to take me to the Madrid.
I know the Madrid. But why do you want me to take you to the Madrid?
I want you to have a look at a man called Charles Zola. Charlie!
Yes, sir?
Where's that tie with the blue spots?
A tie with the blue spots?
Yes.
Oh, you mean the red one, sir?
No, I don't mean the red one, Charlie. I mean the one with the blue spots.
Oh, you mean the one with the blue spots?
Yes.
It's gone to the cleaner, sir.
You know, it's an extraordinary coincidence, Charlie, but when you bought a brown suit, all my brown ties went to the cleaners. And now that you bought a blue suit, all my blue ties have gone to the cleaners.
As you say, sir. Extraordinary coincidence.
Well, I wonder if I could trouble you, Charlie.
The one I'm wearing, sir?
Yes, the one you're wearing, Charlie.
Very good, sir.
Darling?
I shan't be a minute, Steve. Has Taylor arrived?
No, but Mr. Day's here, darling. He seems to be in rather a frap with himself.
Day? What the devil does he want?
I don't know. He just said that he wanted to see you. I rather gather Inspector Vosper's been putting him through a sort of third degree.
Where is he? In the lounge?
Yes.
Thanks, Charlie. Hello, Day. What seems to be the trouble?
Mr. Temple, did you know that they were going to send for me?
Who were going to send for you?
Scotland Yard. I've been there this afternoon. I've been there for 2 hours. For 2 hours, they've been hurling questions at me. Anyone would think that I was a suspicious character.
But you are a suspicious character, Mr. Day. Would you like a drink?
What did you say?
I said you are a suspicious character, Mr. Day.
Are you suggesting...
I'm suggesting that you have a drink. What would you like? Whiskey and soda? Gin?
Mr. Temple, supposing we put our cards on the table for a change.
What do you mean?
I mean that we talk, quite frankly, man to man. Why was I forced to visit Scotland Yard this afternoon? Why do you consider me a suspicious character?
Correction, please. In the first place, you were not forced to visit Scotland Yard. You were invited to Scotland Yard. Secondly, I did not say that I considered you a suspicious character. I said that you were a suspicious character. Shall I tell you why?
Go on.
The first girl that disappeared, the first girl that was murdered by Mr. Gregory, was your fiancée Barbara Wallace. Now, that in itself is quite an interesting point, Mr. Day. But add to that the fact that when Mr. Harcourt committed suicide, or, in fact, was murdered, you were in the vicinity. You were actually staying at Whitby.
Go on.
Last night, a professional dancer at the Madrid, a girl called Coral Slater, was murdered. Although the body was found at a flat in Piccadilly, she was quite obviously, to my way of thinking, murdered at the nightclub. Now, by an interesting coincidence...
I was at the nightclub last night.
Exactly.
But you know why I went to the Madrid. I went there.
You may have had a perfectly good reason for going to the Madrid. I don't doubt that you had. But the fact remains that you went, and you were there when the girl was murdered.
Yes. I'm sorry I was rather rude just now and lost my temper, but I was feeling particularly irritated. You see, Temple, it's really a matter of complete indifference to me what you or Scotland Yard or anybody else thinks about me. When Barbara was murdered, I made up my mind to investigate this case. It wasn't that I fancied myself as a sort of amateur detective. To be quite frank with you, as I've told you before, I'm not at all cut out for that sort of thing. But I made up my mind that if Scotland Yard didn't catch Mr. Gregory by orthodox methods, then by God, I'd try the unorthodox. And I shall keep on trying, Mr. Temple, whether you, Sir Graham Forbes, or Chief Inspector Vosper like it or not.
Well, that seems fair enough, Mr. Day. Now, would you like me to get your... What is it, darling?
The taxi's here, Paul. I've just seen it drive up.
Oh. Well, I'm rather afraid I've got an appointment, Mr. Day, so unless I can drop you somewhere, I'm afraid we shall...
Ultimately, I want to go back to Bond Street.
Oh, that's easy. I'll drop you on the way to the Madrid.
The Madrid?
Yes.
Are you and Mrs. Temple going to the Madrid again tonight?
No. No, as a matter of fact, I'm going on my own...
On your own?
Yes.
Oh? Oh. Apparently, I'm not the only person with an eye on Zola.
Apparently.
Here's your coat.
Oh, thank you, darling. No, I don't suppose I shall be too late, Steve, although I don't advise you sit up and wait for me.
Shall we walk down?
No, it's all right. We'll use the lift. Who else did you see at Scotland Yard besides Vosper?
I saw Sir Graham. Oh, and a man called Walters. I think he's attached to the fingerprint department.
Hmm. Did you tell Sir Graham that you suspected that Charles Zola...
I didn't tell him anything. I was in such a frightful temper, it was all I could do to keep a civil tongue in my head. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that I did.
I can't imagine, Chief Inspector. Here we are.
Hello. There's someone in it. It looks to me as if... Good Lord. Look, Temple, look at that man. What's the matter with him? What?
Get the gate open.
No,
Look out!
Catch him. Don't let him fall.
Oh, my God, Temple. Look at his back. Look at that knife. It must have been...
Don't touch it.
Who is he? Do you know?
Yes. He's the man I've been waiting for. His name's Vic Taylor.
I've told Mr. Day that he can go, Sir Graham. He's made exactly the same statement as Mr. Temple, so there's no need to keep him here any longer.
Yes, all right, Vosper. What about photographs?
They've taken all the photographs, sir, and removed the body.
Fingerprints?
We've drawn a blank on the lift and the knife, sir. I've told Dawson to check up on the cab.
Good.
I'll let you know if Dawson finds anything, sir.
Yes, all right, Inspector. Now, Steve, there's just one little point
yes,
I
sir,
want...
Yes, Sir Graham?
Temple and Mr. Day were here in the lounge talking. You came in and told your husband that Taylor had arrived.
That's right. I happened to be in the hall and I saw the taxi drive up.
You saw the taxi, yes. But did you see Taylor?
What do you mean?
Could you swear that it was Taylor who was driving?
I'm afraid I couldn't. I simply saw the cab through the window, guessed it was for Paul and came into the lounge.
It's quite obvious that Taylor wasn't driving the taxi, Sir Graham. Someone else brought him here and dumped him in the lift.
But you say that immediately you discovered the body...
Almost immediately after we discovered the body, Mr. Day and I dashed down into the street.
But you didn't see anyone?
Not a soul. The street was quite deserted.
You looked in the cab, I take it?
We looked in the cab.
Hmm. Well, you know, Temple, whichever way one looks at it, you can't get away from the fact that this development points directly at Zola. You intended to take Taylor to the Madrid purely for the purpose of identifying Charles Zola. And yet, barely half an hour before...
Excuse me. Hello?
Hello? Who is that, please?
This is Paul Temple here. Is that Dr. Wiseman?
Yes.
I thought I recognized your voice. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Temple. I'm so sorry to disturb you, but...
That's all right, Dr. Wiseman. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm afraid I'm in something of a quandary, Mr. Temple. I don't really know whether it's my imagination and I'm making a mountain out of a molehill or not, but... Well, you remember what I told you at Seabird about my experiences with...
Yes?
Well, something else has happened, Mr. Temple. Something which, well, quite frankly, makes me rather suspicious.
Go on.
About 20 minutes ago, I received a telephone message from a man who called himself Professor Reese. He told me that his daughter had been taken seriously ill and that he had been recommended to get in touch with me by his local practitioner, a Dr. Safford.
Had you heard of Dr. Safford?
No.
And Professor Reese?
I'd certainly never heard of Professor Reese. And to be quite frank with you, Mr. Temple, he didn't sound very much like a professor either.
In fact, you are highly suspicious about the whole business.
Well, in view of my recent experiences and the fact that I can't find Dr. Safer's name in the telephone directory, I am.
What was the address this man gave you? Professor Reese, I mean.
Well, that's another thing. The address was so extraordinary. The address was 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin. Shadwell Basin. Isn't that in the East End?
Yes. Dr. Wiseman, ignore that telephone call and contact me again first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes. Yes, all right, Mr. Temple.
Goodbye, and thanks for ringing.
Goodbye.
What is it?
What's happened, darling?
Now, that's extraordinary. Really extraordinary. I was wondering when we should...
What is it, Vosper?
Sir Donald Murdo's here, sir. They've sent him on from Scotland Yard.
Sir Donald Murdo... Has he heard anything?
This way, Sir Donald.
Forgive me interrupting you like this, Sir Graham, Mr. Temple. But I went to Scotland Yard and they told me that
what
I...
What is it?
Know what's happened?
Have you heard from Mr. Gregory?
Heard from Mr. Gregory? No. No, and I shan't be hearing from him either. It's all over. The lassie's turned up. It was all a practical joke, Sir Graham.
A practical joke?
A joke?
Explain yourself, sir.
Well, now, you see, what really happened...
Just a minute. Are we to understand that your friend, Miss Virginia Van Cleve, has returned?
Aye.
And she's all right?
Of course she's all right. Perfectly all right. That's what I want to explain. It was all a practical joke. You see, she never really disappeared at all. She simply visited some friends.
Visited some friends?
In other words, she simply walked out on you.
I suppose you can put it that way.
But what about the note? What about the note from Mr. Gregory? And the earring? And...
Well, you see, Virginia's got rather a queer sense of humour. She'd been reading in the newspapers about this mysterious Mr. Gregory. So she thought it might be rather a lark if she played...
Where is Miss Van Cleve?
Now?
Yes, now.
She's downstairs.
Where?
In my car.
Get her up here, Inspector.
Yes, sir.
But look here. There's not the slightest necessity for you to question Virginia. I can tell you exactly...
Sir Donald, why do you think Mr. Gregory murdered Barbara Wallace?
Why do I think... I'm sure I haven't the faintest idea.
Why do you think he murdered Mildred Dawson?
Why do... What do you mean? What are you suggesting?
He murdered them because he has every intention of getting his name splashed across the front page of every newspaper in the country. He murdered them because he knew that from that very moment the name Gregory would strike fear and desperation into the heart of...
What are you getting at? What are you suggesting?
I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that, in my opinion, you received a second note from Mr. Gregory, a note you decided to keep for yourself. That note demanded a certain sum of money. You were scared, scared to blazes. You took the money, paid it over to Mr. Gregory, and your friend, Miss Virginia Van Cleve, was allowed to go free.
That's a lie. That's a dirty, filthy lie.
If you did murder...
Where did you take the money?
I tell you, I...
Where did you take the money?
Paul, don't.
All right, Sir Donald. I'll tell you. You took it to a man called Professor Reese. Address? 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin.
You have been listening to the fourth episode of Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Simon Donaldson, Meg Fraser, Richard Greenwood, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.